And welcome. It is great to see you, and welcome to this privilege of worship on this beautiful, cool maybe, but sunny and beautiful day. So it's good to have that opportunity to worship together again. I'd like to think about being called into worship to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to hear God's greeting as well, so I ask that you stand for this, if you would please. From 1 Chronicles 16, verses 28 and 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. God calls us into worship and promises that as we come into worship, he meets us here. Together we hear his words of greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may take your seat again. And we're going to sing some songs as we begin. And, okay, come on up, please.
All the songs I selected tonight are the Red Hymn Book, if you want to follow along. The first one, page 56, To God Be the Glory, verses 1 and 3. The second song is page 611, He Hideth My Soul, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
third song is page 599, Jesus is Lord of All. All three verses. Please stand as we sing. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, let's sing 342, Rock of Ages, verses 1 and 2.
Invite Gary DeJager to come up and lead us in prayer.
tonight. Do we have any prayer requests that anybody would like to share, just to pray for today? Anything special? Am I on?
Yeah.
I can't hear. All right. If not, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Oh, sorry. Gene? Gene's friend Paul, he's asking for prayers that he stays on the right path. Anything else? So Carol, Harold Carroll's great-granddaughter, is 16 years old. She's in ICU in Madison. She was born with a chromosome disorder, and she wasn't expected to live this long. But she's struggling right now down in Madison. Pray for her and the family. Somebody else, Norm?
We have a neighbor with Alan Brinker, and she just had a aneurysm in her head, and she was taken to UW in Madison, and after they operated on her, then she got a blood clot, and then she had a severe stroke. And they don't really go to church too much or anything. I'd like to pray for that.
What was her first name?
Ellen.
Ellen. Ellen Redeker, neighbor of Norm's, had an aneurysm and now had a stroke after a blood clot. He's not sure where they stand with their faith, and so I think wants prayers for that family. Anybody else?
Just thankful that we had her in that fire when I was in the water, and prayer for a lot of nervousness and mechanics down here. They don't know where they're going to be, you know, if they were nervous if they had a job anymore, and I think they will, but just prayer for the whole situation.
There's a fire at Wapun Equipment in Watertown, and that's where Keith works, and so there's a little uncertainty as far as what the jobs, if their jobs will still be there, or what's going to happen down in the future here as decisions are made because of that. So. Jeff?
Good prayer, thanks. Margaret Wall was able to celebrate her 100th birthday this past
week. Margaret?
Margaret Wall.
Wall? Wall, okay. Our dear Lord, we come to you because you are the creator of all things. You give us life. You provide for us. And you promised that you would be there listening to us, be here with us. And we trust that you are. Lord, we thank you for this great creation that you made us, that we can enjoy each and every day, the fresh air, the beauties of nature. Lord, we enjoy the beauty of winter, but now the calendar has turned to March, and we look forward to the snow melting away to turn brown, and soon the new life of green will be sprouting up. Lord, again, you promised that year after year the seasons would follow each other, and you've never failed on your promise, and we know that you won't now. So we can ask, and give us patience, Lord, as we wait for that time change to come again this year. We thank you that we could set aside this Sunday again to come and worship you in your house this morning and again this evening. Lord, we pray that you will accept our gifts of praise, gifts of our time, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say to us through your word again this evening. We thank you for listening to our prayer requests also, Lord. Pray for Ellen Ritiker, who had an aneurysm and a blood clot and a stroke, and is neighbors to some of our members here. And Lord, we pray that you will reach down to that family and that they may witness your grace, that they may accept the grace that you have given to each and every one of us and to them as well, that no matter where they are in life, that your grace is greater and can over and forgiving, and that you sent your son. Pray that you will reach out to that family in this time. Pray that you'll be with Carol and Harold's great-granddaughter. 16 years, she's been a blessing on this earth and born with issues, but Lord, you've created her special. Give them this time, as she is in the hospital now, and she's lived longer than expected, but you can do miracles, and we pray that you'll be with that family as they sit by her side in these days, that your will be done in that situation. Pray for Paul, that he may stay on the right path. Lord, you know his issues. Pray that you will give him strength to take one day at a time. Pray for those that worked at Wapun Equipment. Lord, we thank you that the fire, nobody was hurt in the fire. But yet, at the same time now, in the aftermath, there's uncertainty. People that work there, decisions to make made and to rebuild, or what's going to happen. We pray that you'll be with those that are involved in that, that you'll give them peace, give them patience to, as they wait for decisions to be made as far as what happens in the future. Thank you for Margaret Walda, as she was able to celebrate 100 years on this earth. Lord, many of us can't hardly comprehend what in her 100 years of life, the changes she's seen. Lord, we know that she is a Christian, that she believes in you, and she's been a witness for you in her many years here. Pray that you will continue to bless her. We thank you for Pastor Harv and Kathy, that they could come and be a part of our church for a period of time here. They've been a blessing already, and we look forward to their work here and working amongst us. And I pray that we may be a blessing to them as well. Be with us in our time of transition, that we may look to you for answers to questions and the direction where you want us to go, what kind of a church you want us to be in your world here in Waupun moving forward. Pray that you'll be with Margaret Miedema as she continues to look for answers to the pain and the struggles that she's dealing with. Pray that there may be relief and that she may be able to continue with the activities that she would like to do. Thank you for the healing that Tabby Vanderwerf has experienced. Lord, we pray that this procedure may have the desired effect that is expected. Lord, we know the surgery was tough and the recovery is long, but thank you for continued healing. healing and strength to her, and that the doctors may have been successful in planting and giving her the relief from the back pain that she desires. Pray that you'll be with Carly and Tyler in their time of pregnancy. Pray you will bless them, that they may have, they enjoy this time. Lord, we pray that the fears of cancer may be gone, that they can just be a young family as they grow together and look forward to the birth of a child. Pray that you'll be with Travis Balder and the struggles he's had. Lord, they looking for a bone marrow transplant. We pray that there may be a match so that the doctors may do the transplant that they want to do. Thank you for the recovery that he's shown, but we pray that you will continue to bless them. Be of those that are still taking cancer treatments. We especially think of Janet, Laura. Lord, pray that you will bless those treatments. Give them, put them into remission. Take the cancer away from them so that they may continue to enjoy life, to be witnesses for you, to enjoy their families here on this earth. Lord, it's March, and our church is involved in the St. Ben, serving a meal at St. Ben's the end of the month. We pray that people will come forward to give donations, and those willing to help out go down there and serve. Lord, we thank you for opportunities like this, that as a church we can be a witness, not only in our community, but places distance from us. And so we pray that that may be a blessing to the Milwaukee community, those that are involved in that. Thank you for our servicemen and women, Lord, who every day around the world seek to protect in the places they serve. Thank you for those that have stepped forward and said, I volunteer to protect this country and what we stand for. There is much discourse around the world. As we see, there's the respect for human life seems to have diminished. It seems that Satan has a stronghold in many parts of the world, and even in our country, Lord. We pray that you will bless them in their work, as it's not easy, and pray that we may not forget what they do to give us the freedoms that we enjoy here each and every day. Pray that you'll be with those going to school and be with the teachers this spring as we look forward to summer, but there are many activities going on in schools as kids and teachers are pushing to finish up the studies for the year and all the extracurricular activities that are going on. Pray that you'll give them strength, perseverance as they go through this next few months. Give them clarity, give them health and strength as they take one day at a time. Pray that you'll be with the CWC building project that's proposed, Lord, that you'll put a blessing on that. That and it's exciting to see the growth at the school, that there's a need for more classroom, and there's an opportunity to really do a better job in teaching and preparing all students for service in your kingdom. We thank you for your grace, that you reach down to us who are spiritually dead. Lord, there's nothing that we did that'll gives us any hope of salvation, but it was because of you. You reached down to us, gave us the hope of life eternal. Thank you for sending your son on the cross to save us. Because, Lord, we are sinful. And we ask you, Lord, that you will forgive the sins that we've done this past week, this past day. and pray that we, as we move into next week, we may strive to live a life that is worthy. And we pray that we may live a life that shows how grateful we are for that grace that you've given us, that we may pass it forward. You have Pastor Harv as he brings your word now at this time. Pray that you will bless him. Pray that the words you speak through him may touch us and affect us as we move forward this week. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. We are going to take some time now to look into God's Word. And as we prepare to do that, I want to notice that there are times that we may wonder about our place, where we belong in the whole scheme of things and in the community. And a little bit about our role, but also about our place. And Kathy and I have thought about that in the past year. As most of you know, we went from a settled pastor position into interim work, specialized interim ministry. And so that means that we move quite a bit. I'm trying to add up in my head now how many times we've moved in the last year, but it's been a few. And so within that, and there are a lot of joys in that, getting to know a lot of people, and then there's a lot of blessings in that. But there's also that kind of where do I fit kind of thing, and where do I belong? And in that new chapter, we have to kind of think that through. And as we go through the different chapters in our lives, as you go through those chapters, maybe you may ask those questions as well. And I say that because we're going to look at a psalm. We're moving through some of the psalms, not nearly all of them, but we're going to look at Psalm 8 this evening. And in that, David is asking maybe a kind of a similar question. What is man that you are mindful of him? And so his question is big as he looks around his world. But it's related to the kind of thinking, and we may ask that question in a variety of ways. So we're going to look at that, read that psalm, and then think about how that psalm answers that question. So, Psalm 8, it will be on the screen, and please stand for the reading of Scripture. And I'll note that at the end of that reading, I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and I ask that you respond with thanks be to God. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Please remain standing and let's pray as we prepare to look into this. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you that we can ask honest, searching questions of you and that you give us answers. Help us to hear what you say to us tonight by the power, by the speaking, by the presence of your Spirit. May we walk in step with your Spirit. May all praise go to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. One of the people, I often try to note who has helped me in preparing a message, and it's often not somebody I've ever met. But in this case, it's John Piper, who I haven't met, but appreciate some of his thoughts on this. The main, if we could say, theme of this psalm is not that hard to see. It's pretty clear when you go to the first verse and it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And then you go to verse 9 and it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And when the beginning and the end state exactly the same thing like that, that tells us that the theme of the psalm is, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And so we just recognize the power and the majesty of God. It sounds a little repetitious to us. It says, "O Lord, our Lord." In the original, that's "O Yahweh," which is the proper name for God. "Our Adonai," our master. "O God who is our Lord and master, how majestic is your name." And you know that in that culture, a name spoke of who someone is. "How majestic is your name in all the earth." And then it says, "You have set your glory above the heavens." And so we go from earth to heavens. Everything that we can see, everything that we know, everywhere, it speaks of God's glory. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." I read in thinking this through of an individual. He was, I believe he was a philosopher, and his name was Anthony Flew, and he was a noted atheist as well. And in about 2004, he really surprised the academic world by saying, "You know what? I made a commitment that I would follow the evidence where it took me. And I have come to the conclusion, looking at creation and looking at the world, that there must be a God." And he went from a confirmed atheist to that point. I don't know if he ever became a Christian. I don't know of him ever professing a faith in Jesus. But he did come to the point where he said, there must be a God. And in his book, or one of his books, he talks about the theory that this creation, this majestic creation, came about by, and it's time and chance equals life as we know it. And he said, "You know what? I couldn't, with honesty, believe that anymore." And even referenced there's a theory that is kind of scaled down from that says, I wonder, the theory asks the question, how many monkeys would it take if you took an infinite number of monkeys and an infinite number of keyboards or typewriters, and you had the monkeys bang away on the typewriters, how long would it take them to come up with something the quality of a Shakespearean sonnet? Well, obviously you can't really test that. But there was a study at one point where they did do a very scaled down version of that. They put 6 monkeys in some area, and they had, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 keyboards, and they gave them a month. And they taught the monkeys how to bang away in the keys and get letters to come up. And what are they going to come up with? So they got 30 days to do this. They did not even come up with 1 word, which is interesting because there are words that are only 1 letter, like A and I. But the rule was, in order for it to be a word, there had to be a space before and after. And they didn't even come up with 1 word. I mean, we're not going to get a Shakespearean sonnet at that rate. Anthony Flew did that kind of thinking and said, when you look at this creation, the majesty, the complexity, if you look in a microscope, and the immensity when you look at the size, the only thing you can say is, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." That calls us to praise God for that. It calls us to look for what we sometimes call God sightings in what God does and what he has made. In the snow, in the changing of the seasons, it's God is working. And to let those words ring in our ears and in our hearts. But in addition to that, there's more to the psalm, because what I've talked about is verses 1 and 9. There's verses 2 through 8 to work with as well. And verses 2 through 8 don't really come up with a different theme, but they give some content, some detail, some specific thinking to what is involved in God's majesty. Yes, we can see it when we just look at the sky and look at his creation, certainly. But what else specifically can we look at so we can praise God further? And he says, out of the mouths of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to silence the foe and the avenger. And we're just going to kind of move through this quickly, but what we seem to be seeing here is God works through those who are vulnerable, those who are weak. God in his majesty, who could crush his enemies, works through people even like babies and infants, helpless people. And God is so powerful and so majestic that he can work through those to silence, to still his enemies and his foes. There are enemies, there is evil, but God is dealing with them. And in his majesty, he can work through the weak to do that. And then he says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the delicate work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, I ask, what is man that you're mindful of him? Maybe for David that was a low point, or he's remembering a low point. I don't know. But then he goes on to say, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and it goes on to give the details. In other words, people in some ways can feel small, but David is saying, you have imprinted your image on people. And you have given people dominion. If we want to ask what is our place and what is our role, we remember that we are those who God uses to work in his world and to have dominion over his world. We have an incredibly valuable role. And, of course, when we hear that, we go back and we remember, that reminds us of Genesis 1, where it says, so God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And just before it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, the livestock, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, from the small to the big. People are created with the stamp of God's image to honor him and to serve him. That gives dignity, that gives comfort, and that also gives a challenge to us as we recognize that we are not God, but God gives us his image. And we are to, as we live that out, be caretakers in his world and people who serve and people who, with that role, step into the world and ask, how can God use us in his world? One of the people that I got to know a bit when we lived out in Western BC was a pastor and author named Mark Buchanan, and he wrote a few books, and one of them was called Your Church is Too Safe. And in that, he talked about a clergy person, he was known as Father John in Russia, I think in an area called Kronstadt, Russia. This was in the late 19th century, and it was a difficult time. Lots of addictions, it just, life was hard. And the clergy, along with others, was known to try to escape that the best that they could. So they would try to kind of stay behind their walls and write sermons and write things, but not really interact with the people because that was not safe. But Father John went against that grain, and he was known to put on his robe and to go out in the streets and to find people struggling and to pick them up even, and to look into their face and say, this is beneath your dignity. You were created to house the image of the living God. Now, I don't know what else he did to support people. I'm sure there was more to it than that. But he was one, and he was a large man from what I understand, and he could just speak that truth into people's lives. You have a dignity about you, and it can be better than this. And he would speak that message of being created in God's image. We have a role and a place, and that gives joy. That's both comfort and a challenge. Now, we could stop there, but we won't, because one of the things that we've said as we go through the Psalms, anywhere in the Bible, and including anywhere in the Old Testament, what we want to ask is, what is this saying to us generally, but also, how does this point to Christ? Because we need to clearly ask that question and hear more from the Psalm from that, because this does speak in a powerful way, point us to Christ. It speaks of the Son of Man here, showing that we are vulnerable people. And we remember that Jesus also referred to himself as the Son of Man, identifying with our weakness. But also we see as we go, I'm going to go three places in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:27, speaking of Jesus. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. We are not able to take control of this world and to put things in subjection. We don't have that much ability, that much authority. Jesus does. Jesus came into this world and he has established his kingdom. So what we are called to do in this role is not something that we do on our own, but something that we do following Jesus. We recognize that he is bringing his kingdom and we serve and follow and trust him. So it's not something that we have to become fearful, overly concerned, or just afraid about. We can trust in the powerful work of Jesus who has established his kingdom. And then we go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. I'll just begin reading that because it quotes from Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, have crowned him with glory and honor. I note that because that's quoting this psalm, but that is a place in the Bible that clearly points to the work of Jesus, the powerful saving work of Jesus. Again, showing us that these words point to him. And then one more. If you look at Matthew 21, it's the time of the triumphal entry. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he knows that he will be soon going to the cross for us. But people are waving things and speaking, including children, it says in Matthew. And the religious leaders then come to Jesus, and they say, do you hear this? Why are you allowing them to speak like this of you? And Jesus quoted Psalm 8 and said, out of the mouths of babes and infants you have ordained praise. Even the weakest and the most vulnerable speak to God's praise and speak against his enemies. And remember, Jesus is saying that as he is coming into Jerusalem and ready to, as he identifies with our weakness, go to the cross for us, where that seeming weakness in such a powerful way destroys evil and sin, the work of the devil. God silences his foes and avengers through what looks like weakness to us, but in that God's majesty is made known. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, we can take that in, and then I'd like us to ask, so what do we do with that? And there's a lot we could do with that. But I want to suggest just a few ways to think about that. The first of those would be, when we hear this, it seems to me that we treat ourselves then with God-given dignity. Now, I don't mean that in sort of the current sense of this self-interest kind of thinking. But I do think we can recognize and remember that we are not just random blobs of cells on a spinning planet and just everything is random. It's not like that. God is working, and he has given significance, as in his majesty he has chosen to give that place to us, to stamp us with his image. And that gives both dignity and comfort and a challenge. And I think we recognize that as we see ourselves going through life, as we see others going through life, that people are, we have contradictions as people. I mean, we're stamped with God's image and given incredible abilities. And yet people can have such amazing ability. I mean, we can design computers. We can send people into space. And yet so often we mess things up in our own families. I mean, things that are incredibly complex we can do, and things that you would think we'd be able to do are harder for us to do. And so we recognize those contradictions and those challenges, but within that, we remember that we are created to house the image of God and to have dominion from that. Now that gives us both comfort, and it also helps us to think of the actions that we take, the ministries that we set into, everything that we do. Is this what God is calling me to do? Is this appropriate for someone who is in the image of God? It's both a comfort and a challenge to live out that dominion that God has graciously and in his majesty given to us. So it has an effect on how we treat ourselves. It also has an effect on how we treat others. We treat others recognizing that that same dignity that God has given us, created in his image and with this incredible role, that's also true of every person that we meet. One of the pieces of writing that I have enjoyed through the years is from C.S. Lewis, and it's in a place that he's a piece of his writing called The Weight of Glory. And he talks about other people. And he says this, just a small part of it. Remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities that we should conduct all our dealings with one another. All friendships, loves, play, politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. We are created in the image of God to either be with him forever or, for those who reject him, to be away from him forever. But we are created with a specialness. And that means that every single person that we talk to, we treat that way. That has a lot to do with how we encourage people. That has, if we feel we need to speak words of correction or to confront someone on something, that has a lot to do with how we do that. And we live in a world where it's very, very common for the language and for the way we treat people to be very sharp and pretty unkind sometimes. And we're called in the church to be different from that and to remember that role and that place that people have and to treat people with that kind of value. And third, when we see this, we remember again, as we have said, that God works through what looks like weakness. God works through people to do his work. At least often he does that. And we can praise him for that. Praise him that he works through the activities that we can do now. And he has given us this role. And most centrally, praise him that he worked through what looked like weakness in the work of Jesus, but was anything but that. And in that way, God defeated the powers of evil so that we can be forgiven and so that his followers can be with him forever. And we praise God for that majestic work. God calls us tonight to remember his majesty, and particularly in the work of Jesus, and to remember our high calling as a comfort and a challenge. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your powerful work. We praise you for your majesty. And we thank you so much for the way that you have created us and worked in this world through us and for us in the saving work of Jesus. We praise you for that. For a majesty that is beyond what we can imagine, but we so thank you and praise you for. As we go out from here now, we pray that you comfort us with that place that we have, and comfort us with the saving work of Jesus, and challenge us to respond to that saving work, remembering how you have created us. We thank you again, and we pray again in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And our song of response is, Lord, our Lord, your glorious name. And let's stand, please, for this. Thank you. Before we hear the benediction, we will say the words of the Apostles' Creed together. We say these words together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we go out with both a comfort and a challenge, remembering God's work and his majesty, we know that he goes with us. Together we hear these words of blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you.